Man, they're trying to adjust me back there, so if you get screeching noises, it's not me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are grateful? How many are grateful this morning? Amen. Amen. I do want to say happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there. Praise God. Let me find my message here. It's a good message. Amen. Everybody's serious this morning. Someone's got to smile. Have a good time here this morning. Amen. It's an exciting time. Amen. God's shifting and changing some things in our lives. He's giving us new direction. He's giving us new guidance. He wants to lead you to places of victory in your life. Amen. How many can say amen to that? How many can get a little excited about that? Amen. How many are ready to shake off some of the old and step in something new and new direction, new love, a new life? Amen. Amen. I just want to challenge each one of you that God is doing something great. And we want to welcome all our visitors here this morning. Amen. I thank you for choosing to be here. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're a God that is a God that is doing great things. And Father, I thank you, Lord, there is a shifting in the air. Father, you're causing greatness in a new way. And sometimes, Father, we expect to see it in a certain way, but Father, your ways are totally different sometimes from ours. And Father, we just accept whatever you bring our way for us to be able to walk in and to see it and to experience it. Father, I just pray right now this morning that the Holy Spirit may just come, stir hearts this morning. Father, I pray that we walked in one way, but the Father, we may walk out in a new realm of spirituality with you. I thank you for this morning. We thank you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone says, amen. God, thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 15. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is the book of Luke really shows us a lot of parables, and the parables basically all point to the love that God has for each and every one of us. And I think it's very important for us to understand the love that God has for us, because a lot of times the enemy comes to try to discourage us. Even as Sister Selena was saying this morning, he tries to put weights on you. He tries to cause situations and circumstances in your life so that you feel like you're distant from God. But the thing about it is, I want to challenge you to understand what it is to be away from God, but also what it is to be close to God. And you know, David's a great example of that through his whole life. David was probably one of the worst sinners, but yet the Word of God describes him as a man after God's own heart. You know, you say, well, how could he be so bad, but how could he be so close to God? It's because of the condition of his heart. His desire was always to be close to God. And I really believe that the challenge this morning is for each one of us to truly understand that where you run to when you're in a circumstances and a situation is important. Amen. What you trust in, what you call on, what you grab for is very important, because if you're in the midst of a situation and you're grabbing for the wrong things, you're going to end up in the wrong direction. And that's why this morning it was even so important as we came up that you just be able to wipe away some of the stuff and be able to say, Lord, you got me to this point, but Lord, I need you to take me a little farther. I need your guidance. You know, Sister Paula's been doing some prayer, and she's having prayer here on Fridays. What time would you show up, Paula? At 9. So anyone that wants to show up Friday mornings at 9, Paula's here praying. And the Lord has really been giving her some really insight in her prayers. And the thing, one of the things that the Lord really showed her, and we, me and Pastor Gal have been talking about this, is a lot of times we expect God to move in a certain way. We expect it. But if you really look at the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, when God moved, he moved his way. And some people were like, They weren't expecting it. They were like, is that God or is it not God? Is it God or is it God? Because it was something different. And how many of you realize that our God doesn't do things our way, He does them His way. And we've got to be able to move His way and recognize Him in it. Amen? To trust Him. That's what faith is, and that's what trust is to be able to say, I know if it's God, He's going to give me the guidance, and I'm going to be able to trust Him. Amen? How many can say amen to that? So the book of Luke, chapter 15, talks about three parables. The first parable that the Lord talks about is the parable of the shepherd that had 100 sheep. And He talks about the one sheep that roamed away, and He leaves the 99 to go and bring back the lost sheep. The second parable that He talks about in that chapter is the parable of the woman that had 10 silver coins and lost one coin. And she started to clean her house and look for that coin, and she searched and she searched for that coin until she found it. But the third parable is about the prodigal son. And that's where I know we've all heard about the prodigal, but I really believe that it's a message that goes right hand in hand with everything that the Lord was saying through the time of pre-prayer, the time of worship, because it's so important that we grasp that. And it starts in verse 11. Amen? And it says, then He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So He divided to them his livelihood. First of all, when you really stop and you think about it, how many of you as sons would step up to your dad and tell him, I want my inheritance when he was still alive? I know I wouldn't have. I don't think Daddy would have agreed with that. So you see, this as a different type of a father. He's a father that is willing to show his children and allow them to learn something through the desires of their own heart. How many of us go before God and we tell Him kind of what we expect from Him and we want it? How many can say amen to that? You guys are really quiet this morning. Whew, happy Father's Day. Maybe we shouldn't have fed you. You guys are falling asleep. The thing is if you really look at this and you grab the true story of it, you really start understanding that, you know what? Sometimes we're a lot like the prodigal son. We come to God and we tell Him what we expect, what we want. And yet the Lord is saying, I have greater things for you. But yet our desires are always pretty much selfish, or they are driven by what we want and not really by what the Lord is doing or the full picture that God has. How many can say amen to that? So Him being a different type of father, it says in verse 13, it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And it says, so He divided them. Divided his livelihood. Verse 13 goes on, it says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. I looked up what prodigal meant. It says, spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, extravagant. Prodigal habits die hard. Wasteful, extravagant, spendthrift, improvident, imprudent, immoderate. So you get the understanding. How many of the men say, sometimes my wife's being a prodigal. She's spending unwisely. Amen. And others of us say, I'm glad I have a wife that is frugal. Amen. They spend wisely. Amen. But the thing is how many of us have spent a lot of our lives like a prodigal? We've thrown things away. We've lived our lives in our own way, in our own desire, and we do it our way. And the thing is the prodigal, basically, he wanted everything for himself. The focus was on him. He wanted everything for himself. And you know what? This morning, the Word of God is basically challenging each one of us to make us understand that, you know what? So many times, your way is going to get you so far. And the thing about it is there's a point in your life that something needs to change, because you know what? You can't go any farther without God in your life. You know, the thing is, this individual, basically, he went out and he lived his life to the fullest. He became a little party animal. He was out there doing stuff he shouldn't have done with women and the party life and everything else that he was doing. He was throwing, probably drinking and drugs. I don't know what was available in that day. But he was living a life just wasteful. Wasteful. And the thing about it is, how many of us, maybe not to that extreme, but there's different ways that we waste our life. By entertaining things that are not of God. Entertaining things that are pulling us or striving us or driving us to different directions. See, the thing is, when it's all about us, we do things that are pleasing to ourselves. Or which we think are pleasing to ourselves. And that's when it becomes very dangerous. Because we're living a life, sometimes, focused on ourselves and not really focusing on what God wants. It says that he moved away to a country afar off. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want. How many of you realize that sometimes when you live foolishly, you run out. And the friends that you had were only your friends because of your provision. You providing the party, they like being around you. But once the party stops, the money stops, you really find out who your friends really are. Amen? Because some of us lived that life. Some of us were in that journey. We were around those things. And the thing about it is, the things of this world eventually come to an end. You can't live that kind of life consistently, because you know what? It wears you down and it beats you down. And eventually, the end result is a sad ending. So we see the prodigal here. He took what his father had given him and he spent it all. The father didn't have to give him anything. But the father, being a loving father, a good father, he gave his son what he wanted. Even though he knew it was going to harm him. Thing about here is that we've got to understand that sometimes the choices and the decisions we make are self-driven and they're not leading us closer to God. Verse 15 and 16 goes on and says, and then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him in the fields to feed swine. In other words, he found a job. And his job was to feed the pigs. And it says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Visualize this. This son had a good life at home. But he chose to grab what he felt was rightfully his and go out and live his life the way he wanted, in a foolishly immature way. He didn't invest anything. He didn't plan for tomorrow. He lived in the now. All that mattered was him being able to have a good time right now. That's all that mattered. When everything ran out, he said, now I've got to figure something out. He went and got a job. And then you know what? Back in that day, you remember there was a famine. So there was one thing, there wasn't plenty going on. And all of a sudden, here he is feeding pigs. And it says that as he fed the pigs, he desired to have what they were eating so that he could eat. This was something that was really cool the Lord gave me. Your life becomes so messed up that what you never what never looked right now looks attractive. Doesn't that describe a lot of the world now? What they thought they would never participate in is now is what's attractive to them. That's what they desire. You know, you stop and you think of what the enemy has done through alcohol and drugs and the different ways he's done it and just enticed or made him so attractive for our younger generation that they're so involved in that that they think it's good and they don't see the bad in it. That's where this guy was. He could only see that he desired it, not, and probably remembered back when he was home and he'd say, I had it made, but now I'm desiring the slop that they're feeding the pigs. And this is the part that I really, really, really want to focus on this morning. This story leads to this point. But it says, verse 17 says, but when he came to himself and he said, how many of you need to come to yourself? You know, in Spanish they say snapea. Snapea. Eje tiene que snapear. You know, you need to come to a place that you say, you know what, you need to get real with yourself. What am I doing? Being honest with yourself. Is this life really what I should be doing? Am I living the right way? Am I making the right choices? Am I just living, or am I really doing something that is right? You know, there's got to come a time in your life that you come to a point that you say, you know what? What am I doing? And that's where the Lord is telling us today, even by calling us up and saying, you know what? Whatever you've done, you've come to this certain point, but you know what? You've got to shake yourself off, and you've got to come to realize how much we need of God. You know what? We see so many marriages falling by the wayside. We see families being divided and destroyed. Why? Because you know what? People are living their way and they're not coming to their senses. No están snapeando. You need to come to a place where you be real with yourself. And you look at your life and you say, you know what? Why am I carrying all this stuff? Why am I going through all of this? Why are my decisions and choices leading to more troubles and more situations? It's because, you know what? You've got to come to a point where you're real and you say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your guidance. What am I doing? What have I done? See, we've got to come to a place to realize that all the stuff we've done and the way we're living, is that really what we want? We're living in a world that's making things that are wrong very attractive. A lot of wrong things is what people, our young generation, is running after. We see it in so many different ways. The enemy making things attractive. They're running after it. They're pursuing it, not realizing where this road is taking them. And here the Lord is saying, you know what? I love you so much, I will give you what you want. If that's what you want, you walk that road. And then they turn around and they say, well, if God's such a loving God, why would he let that happen? Because he loves you that much. He lets you make your choices. Sometimes I wish God would have grabbed me by the ear and kind of like my grandma used to and say, get over here. ¿Qué estás haciendo allá? And grabbed you by the ear and say, get over here. How many of you realize sometimes you wish God would grab you by the ear and say, get out of that mess. Get away from those pigs and get over here. Because that's the life we've chosen to live. And God gives it to you. In fact, one of the sisters for the Bible study said, with someone that was in that accident, that said, well, why would a loving God let that happen? He loves them that much that he lets them make their choices. And sometimes the choices we make aren't the best choices. But if we're living and our eyes are focused on God, it doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. They will, but you know what? We're content in our heart knowing who we are in God. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as the scripture says. Amen? We know our God. We know our God, that he works all things together for good for those who trust in him. And that's the thing we've got to be able to say, I trust in my God. I put my God before me. Because when you come to yourself, he came to a point that he was being real with himself. And that's the key I really want to focus on this morning with each one of us, is how many of you can truly be real with yourselves? Be real. If there's certain things that are driving you, pulling you, or causing you to do certain things in your life, you've got to be able to stand up and say, you know what, this, I need to stop this. This has got to stop in my life. Because you know what, if you continue, it's leading you to things that are going to destroy your life. You know, a very simple example of that is when I started dating my wife and I made a choice and a decision to marry her and I asked for her hand in proposal, if I would have continued living the way I was before, I guarantee you we wouldn't be together. There had to be some changes. There had to be some commitments. There had to be some choices that I had to make that were going to line up with the favor I had and the desire I had for her to be my wife. But if I kept living the way I wanted to, the way I could have, not wanted to, the way I could have, we wouldn't be married. See, and that's the same way it is with God. You got to make a choice. You got to come to a point that you're real with God. You can't flirt with the devil and then go chasing God and then blaming God for what the devil did or blaming the devil for what God did, because you're living in a world of confusion and a lot of it is your own choices. See, we've got to be able to say, I'm committing myself to the Lord. Being real, being honest, and saying, Lord, I've come to myself. And Lord, I love what this young man says. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Put your focus on, when he says the Father, put your focus on Jesus. Put your focus on the Lord. How many of his children are being cared for, are being met? The desires of the hearts are being given to them. There's joy in their lives. The promises of the Word of God are in their lives. And here I am, a child of God, but distant from him and not doing what I should be doing. Do you see the thing here, the parallel with the prodigal and being close to God and being away from God? See, so many times we're out there with the pigs when God is saying, you could be right here at home with me. And the thing about it is, this individual recognized that and noticed it. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? How many of you realize it's a lot better place to be in the hands of a loving God? Why is it that we pursue or we follow paths that lead us away from God? And it says, I will arise and go to my father. This morning is exactly what we were challenging you to do. I will arise and I want to go back to Daddy. I want to go back to my father. Because you know what? Sometimes the path that you walked will only get you so far. Sometimes you got to realize and get to that point, like that song that they were singing, this is holy ground. Because you know what? When you enter into that place of holiness, expect some great things to happen, because when God shows up, he moves in magnificent ways. But see, the thing is, we got to get to that point where we recognize we need more of God in our lives than what we've been pursuing in our own lives. We've got to be able to say, Lord, I'm here because I want to shake off the dust off my feet. I want to start a new journey. In other words, this young man rose up and he said, I'm going back to my father's house. How many of us need to say, I'm going back to my father's house? I'm going back to where I know there is food on the table. I'm going back to where I know there is love. I know going back to where there is joy. I'm going back to where I know my God cares for me. Why am I here struggling when I know there is a place for me in my father's house? And if it was not so, I would not tell you. Because I go to prepare a mansion for you. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. I go and I prepare a place for you. And if it was not so, I wouldn't tell you. How many of you realize that there is a place for you in the house of God? Why do we wonder and we test and get attracted by the things of this world or get entertained by the things of this world and we get sidetracked to the point that the things we thought we would never be doing become attractive? I will arise and go to my Father and will say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Isn't that neat, the heart of a repentant son? I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I think this son had a change of attitude. How many can say amen to that? From give me my inheritance, give me what is rightfully mine, to going back through his experience and saying, I have sinned against you, Dad, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Let me just be your servant. There's a shift that happened in this son's heart, and I really believe that that's the shift that needs to happen in each of our hearts. From going from a son or a daughter that's saying, I want it my way, give me what's rightfully mine, because I'm going to do it my way. Coming back and saying, Lord, I thank you, Father. And I'm not worthy to be called your son or your daughter, but I will be your servant in your house. Isn't there a scripture that says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be able to be entertained by the things of this world? See, we've got to come to a point that we recognize who God is and that we're willing to give it all for Him. We've got to come to ourself, come to our senses, and be able to say, Lord, I want to be and walk in the ways of the Lord. You know, this morning the challenge came forward, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to see people come up for prayer and direction and guidance. Because see, that's what God's all about. He's about giving you hope. He's about giving you dreams. He's about giving you encouragement. Because you know what? The world will come and discourage you and try to take away what the Lord has for you. But the Lord is saying, I'm coming. And even in the time of darkness, I'm coming with the greatness and the favor of who I am to encourage a people and to allow them to become everything that I want them to be. You know, God is such a loving God, and it's a time. In fact, that's the title of my message is Coming Back to Daddy. Because you know what? How many of you realize that we need to come back to the true things of God? We need to come back and be real with God. We've got to be able to stop pursuing our own desires and running after our own fleshly things and be able to say, Lord, I'm going to pursue the things of the spiritual. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be what God wants me to be because I know that in my Father's house, there is where I find the joy of the Lord. That's where I see the greatness of God. That's where I see the power of God. That's where I see the covering of God in my life. And you know what? The beautiful thing about this story is that, you know what? The son had a great experience through whatever he went through. But you know what? When he came back to the Father, this is the love of a father. It says in verse 20, it says, and he arose and came to his father. You know, sometimes when you've been doing something that is wrong, how many of us, it was hard to come back to daddy when you knew you had messed up? You know, I remember at a young age, we used to do a lot of hand fishing. We lived by the river. And there was this bucket that we had bent a certain way, and you'd throw it in the river, and the fish would get in it, and we'd go in the evenings and pull this bucket out, and there'd always be two or three fish in there. Well, I had been hand fishing that day, and I found a really big fish on the side of the river that was dead. So I got that big fish, and I went and stuck it in the bucket. And then when I got home that evening, I told my brothers, oh man, I was trying to catch this big fish and I couldn't find it. I bet you it went in the bucket. They were just getting ready to go to town. You know, remember how your mom used to slick you up and have you get your hair wet and put you one of your better shirts on, your best pants on? They were going to go to town. I wasn't going because I had just come from the river. So my two younger brothers were all dressed up, ready to go. And I said, I bet that fish got in the bucket. So they took off running to the river. I guess one of them started to pull on the bucket, and the other one saw the white inside the bucket, the fish, and he jumped in the river. And he started to try to catch the fish and get it out of the bucket. And they were so excited, the other one jumped in. So now they're all dirty, they're all a mess. And they come back, and this fish, it's a big fish, but it's stiff. It's been dead for a long time. It's stiff. Didn't even have eyeballs anymore. And it's like a board. So they come in back, and they're all excited because they think they caught a big fish. And I knew I was in trouble because I saw them all full of mud and wet and everything else. And I ran and I hid. I was good at hiding. And I remember them coming and them saying, Dad, Dad, look, look. And my dad's getting ready to get in the car to take them. And he goes over and he gets the fish. And he looks at it. It's still straight across. He just yells, because they used to call me, well, my name, Pete. He says, Pete! I was over there hiding by the pig pens. I was like this prodigal. I was over there inside the pig pen. But I remember when I had to come out and go to where my father was. It's a fearful thing because you don't know. It was funny. But there was a little bit of fear because I knew the kids, my brothers, were all full of mud. And I remember approaching my dad, and I thought I was going to get spanked. And I remember my dad looking at the fish and looking at my two brothers and then looking at me coming. And I think he kind of caught the humor in it. And he looked at me, he said, son, you're not going to town, and neither are you guys. Go inside the house. But sometimes it's hard to approach when you know you've done wrong. It's hard to approach it because you don't know the punishment. And the prodigal son was approaching his dad, not knowing if his father was going to reject him or embrace him. You see, sometimes when we've done wrong, I want you to know that it's hard for us to approach the Lord. And in fact, the enemy will even use that to tell you, you know what? You should probably should stop going to the church. People know about what you did. He'll try to bring shame on you, and he'll try to make you feel isolated so that you separate yourself from the people of the church. You separate yourself from God. You stop praying. Before you know it, you've gotten distant from God. And it's all because you thought God wasn't going to accept you. But see, sometimes you got to say, no, I got to get to my father. I got to get to my dad. Whatever his choice is, whatever his decision is, I need to go back to my dad. And it says that this is where the prodigal says, he arose that day and he said, I'm going to my father's house. And I'm going to ask him to forgive me. Second part of that verse, it goes on in verse 20, it says, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. How many of you realize when you're a great way off, daddy's still watching you? You know, can you imagine this father? This is the love of a father. When this son was out there doing what he was doing, it was probably every day the dad would get up and say, maybe today is when Mahito's coming back. And he'd look to the road and he'd look different days as he's working and stuff. He'd look to the road and say, maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the hour. And he wouldn't come. But that day when he looked, he saw his son. And it brought joy to him. And he was compassionate, it says. I'm going to tell you a story that we experienced with a father and a son. There was a family coming to our church at one time, and the young boy, he liked riding bulls. And he was really into it, really excited about riding bulls. And he was riding a bull up here near Monte Vista. And he had asked us, pastors, you got to come and see me ride the bull. You got to see me ride the bull. And he was always at rodeos. And we said, okay, we'll go. Well, he told us the time and everything. So we went up there to see him ride a bull. You know, and he was probably, at that time, 10, 12 years old, somewhere in there. And I remember him, and it was supposed to be a junior bull rider. That's what he was supposed to be. And I remember when we got there, and we got down, he saw us coming, and he runs up to me and Pastor Gail, and he says, come here. We've already drawn which bull I'm going to ride. And I said, okay, show me which one. And he takes us to this corral, and there's all these bulls in there. And I'm saying, oh, these aren't junior bulls. These are big bulls. And he's over here all excited. He even jumped up on the fence, and he said, see the brown one? That's the one I'm going to ride. And you know what I was saying in my head? Kid, you're crazy. That's a big bull. There's no junior about that bull. It's a big bull. And I remember he was so excited. He was so excited. And he says, let me show you what I have to do. And he had that thing that they tie around where they put his rig or something. I don't know. He's over there and he's putting tar on it. And he's rubbing it. And he's rubbing it with his glove. And he's getting ready. And he's all excited. And I'll be honest with you. I'm saying, what's wrong with this kid? I wouldn't get on that bull. There's nothing junior about it. Well, anyway, his dad was the one that would help him and strap him in and pull on that thing and tighten his hand. And his dad had a bad knee and a bad hip and a bad elbow. I mean, the guy was messed up from just injuries. And the reason I tell you that, you'll understand later. Well, anyway, it was his turn to get on the bull. And the dad is strapping him in. And he's tightening him up and everything. And he gets ready. And the guy's on the gate ready to open it. When the young boy nods his head, they open the gate. The bull spins around. Remember, if you can stay on 8 seconds, you've done your chore. Well, the bull spun out, spun around. And the fence that was around the arena there had cable. It had cable and had iron poles. Every so often, and it had cables on it. Well, when the bull spun around, it got up against the fence, and his spur got stuck on one of the cables, and it spun him around, and he landed, and he was standing right where the pole is, right behind him, and the bull turned around. Remember, this is fast. The bull turned around and took a swing at him, and he moved back, but then the bull was head-on with him, and the bull came to hit him, and he was smashed him up against that fence, up against that post. I don't know where and how fast his dad got from there to over there, but when that bull went to hit his son, two hands grabbed him by the vest he was on, and he pulled him out, and the bull hit, and he rammed into the post. To this day, I still don't know how the dad got over there with a messed up leg, messed up hip, messed up elbow to save his son. But I'll tell you one thing. The love of a father. Will cause him to do greatness when his children are involved. And each one of you is loved by the Father. Don't ever let the enemy tell you any different. Whenever the enemy thinks he has you right where he wants you and he's ready to ram you, God shows up. And God says, not today. Not today, Satan. Because that's the God that loves each one of you. See, that's why the enemy would want to keep you separated from the family of God, from his presence, from his glory. He wants to keep you in a place where you feel bitter, anger, or frustrated, or what are the people thinking? You know what? It doesn't matter what they think. What does God have to say? What does God think about you?
Because when you're in the middle of a situation, that's when God shows up. When the enemy thinks he has you, God shows up with his greatness. And see, that's where that son was. I just want to get back to Daddy. It hasn't been very good being away from my dad. I've made some poor choices. I'm hungry. And in my dad's house, even his servants eat better than this. He could have chose to stay away from his dad. He could have chose and said, you know what? I don't want to go back to Daddy because I messed up. But he went back. It says he rose up and he went back. The beautiful part of this is, like I said, the love of a father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Isn't that a good father? Then he turns around and he says, the son right away said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, see, here the son, he had the right heart, right attitude. I sinned against you, Dad. I've done what's wrong. But listen to what the father says. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. This is the key. A robe covers. And what that son needed was his shame to be covered. And the father said, cover him. I don't want his shame. It almost represents the blood of the Lamb that covers our shame. So he covers him. And then he says, and put a ring on his hand. Put a ring on his hand. What does the ring signify? It identifies. See, when I have this ring on, it identifies that I'm married. I belong to someone. And see, that's what that identified. When he said, put my ring on my son. When people saw that ring, they said, that's the son of that man. It brought identification. See, that's what the Lord identifies with when he says, you are sealed. You are sealed by his love. He identifies with you. In other words, you belong to him. People know you because of your testimony. People know you because of the love that's in your heart. Isn't there a song or a scripture that says, they will know you. They will know you by your love. It's because of who he is. And this is so key because as Sister Selena's dream and what the Lord was showing her, because it would have been good, just the robe and the ring. But then it goes on and says, and sandals on his feet. Why sandals? Because his walk is about to change. My son was out there in the ways of the world. He was living a different life. But now he's back and his walk is about to change. That's why it was so important this morning that you come up and you wipe your feet and let the Lord clothe you and put the robe back on you, give you the identification of the ring, but also give you the sandals of holy ground because your walk is about to change. And that's what the Lord was really showing me this last night as I was studying. You know what? We've all done wrong. But even when we were out there doing the things that we did, his eyes were on you. He was waiting for you to come home. And you know what? This is also a testimony to some of you that have been praying for some loved ones that are out there. It's to encourage you, to tell you, and to show you that, you know what? God's eyes are upon them. Continue to pray, because what prayer is when you get up in the morning, you're looking to the road. Is today the day that my son's coming? Is today the day my granddaughter, my grandson is coming home? Is today the day? See, you're looking over there because you're being prayerful. You're being, you're walking in faith, and you're saying, "I trust you, Lord, that you're going to bring them home." So therefore, you keep looking to see the journey back. So don't lose faith, and don't stop praying, because God says, "My eyes are upon them." But the beautiful thing is, pray that they come to themselves. Pray that they get real with God. Pray that where they're at, their eyes would be open and they would say, "What am I doing?" And that they'd be able to find their way back to the loving Father. Amen? So that He can clothe them, put the robe back on them, take the shame off of them, identify them with the ring of righteousness, and then once again, put on the sandals for a new walk. How many can say amen to that? That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to challenge each one of us to be able to come from that walk that we're in, to come to a place that we identify with who He is, so that our journey from today forward may be led by the Lord. How many can say amen to that? Let's stand up this morning. If the worship team would come up. Praise God. I'm going to ask Ted and his family to come forward, because they're going to be moving away. And I really believe it's appropriate, Pastor Gail, if you'd come forward. It's really appropriate that when someone's leaving the church, that they leave with the blessing and the favor of God. Amen? I know that it's not by choice that they were looking and searching to leave. It's because of work that Ted got a job, and they're going to be moving to Albuquerque. But the beautiful thing about it is we can pray as a family. First, we want you to know that you always have a home here. You guys are always welcome here. You're always welcome here. And wherever the Lord takes you, that the blessing and the favor of God be over you and your family. Okay? So let's put our hands forward as we just bless this family. Father, we are grateful. I thank you, Father, for this family and the time that they were here with us. We just thank you for them, Father. Thank you for these beautiful girls and young boy, Father, that always bring a smile. But I pray for the father and the mother, Father, Lord, that you bless them. I pray, Father, the Lord, that their hearts would always stay close to you. And that, Lord, that the favor of God guide them and lead them. And the Father, that they may know, Father, that wherever they are, there's a family here that loves them. And we're praying for the best spiritually in them. Father, may your favor and your blessing be upon this family. Lead them and guide them, and let them see the greatness of who you are. Bless them, Father, in their workplaces. Bless the girls and little Ted at school. Pray for good friendships. We pray, Father, for good relationships, Father, spiritual relationships. We're going to pray, Father, for the right place for them to be able to fellowship the right church. And I thank you so much that we can just bless this family, watch over them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, this morning we were challenged. We were challenged to rise up and allow God to change our walk. And if there's anyone here that just needs a bit more prayer or some encouragement, as the worship team plays, leads us in worship, please come up at that time and we can pray over you. That your love is so great. The Father, that no matter what we've done, no matter what the choices we've made, you are a loving and a forgiving Father. And I pray, Father, the Lord, this morning, the encouragement of God would be upon each and every one. Let the love of God just lead and guide us today. I thank you, Father, for our guests this morning. And I pray, Lord, that they may have just been encouraged by your word. Let them enjoy their natural fathers, but also remember that there is a spiritual Father that loves each and every one of them. Thank you, Father, so much for being such a good God. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says amen. And fathers, don't forget to